Isn't that cool right there? Now, that's probably not exactly what it looked like, but amen. But somebody say, if the Bible says it happened, it happened. Amen. And they didn't have cameras back then and, you know, social media, right? MSNBC wasn't around yet. Fox wasn't around yet. But Noah will tell you one day it happened. Amen. The people that were lost will tell you it happened because they're in heaven too. You don't believe that? Read the gospel. Jesus went down and preached in the regions of the damned, the Bible says, when he died. And the people that perished in the flood, he gave them an option. Who wants out? I mean, we're going to see and hear some things in heaven that will make your ears. I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it. Amen? Praise God. They'll tell you, yeah, it happened. I could only swim for so long. And it was over. Amen? Praise God. Maybe, I don't know if animals can talk in heaven. Maybe the lion will come and say, it happened. It happened. The little lamb will come up. It happened. Praise God. Well, Genesis chapter 7 is where we're looking, right? So we should probably look at it and see what the Bible says. But somebody say, it happened, man. And if that happened, it means God is still doing stuff, right? Because he didn't just start doing stuff. And, you know, I've heard even recently on the news that they've been discovering new solar systems and things. It's like God is just so big. You know what I mean? And I'm so excited, you know, when we get to heaven and, you know, this life is just so quick. I mean, I remember when I was just a little guy. I have memories. Not a whole lot, but I remember some things. And now I'm 47. I mean, it like that. We're going to be in heaven like that. I mean, it's not time to play around with God on this planet. Amen. I'll get saved later. Well, today might be later, right? You don't know, especially the unsaved person. You don't know how many days you have on this planet, amen? And so somebody say it's time to be saved now, amen? Somebody that's listening later to this recording, you might just consider getting saved right now because I know everybody in this room is saved. But that person out there, you might just take a minute, and if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive Jesus now. I receive my forgiveness now. And guess what? I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. But Genesis 7 talks about this, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to focus on verses 13 through 24. And it says this, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. Somebody say, on the very same day. Now, I don't think Noah built the ark in a day, right? There wasn't a Home Depot. There wasn't, they have a Home Depot in heaven. Well, that's a Tim Hawkins song. You can look at it. Funny song, right? There was not a Home Depot in heaven. There weren't power tools, right? And I don't think a whole lot of folks were interested in helping him. And he was pretty elderly, even back then. 600 years old was probably not a young, spry person, right? And probably many thought he was nuts, building this big old structure out there in the desert, right? Amen? But guess what? The day came. Somebody say, the day came. And if you're trusting God for something, guess what? The day is coming. If you're believing God for the rapture of the church, the day is coming when we will all, and this ark is really symbolic of the rapture of the church. The day will come when it's time to go and we will all be out of here, man. Glory to God. And then you're not going to want to be on planet Earth after that, amen? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The day is coming. On the very same day, Noah and his family went into the ark, and they and every beast after its kind, verse 14, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird, every sort, get me out of there. Praise God. And they went to the ark to Noah, two by two, all the flesh, which was the breath of life. Verse 16, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, what did he say, by the way? Male and female. Right? No, he didn't mention 87 genders, did he? Just a little footnote there. Where's that in the Bible? Well, there's obvious things we can look at to tell the difference, but if you need proof in the Bible, there you go. Male and female. A lot of these folks that want to talk about how awesome nature is, well, nature will tell you. Ask the horse. Amen. Male and female. Of all flesh went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Amen. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. There you go. There's our offering connection right there. Amen. This world's economy is underwater, man. It's under the curse. And as you give, as you tithe and you give offerings, what you're doing is you're escaping from the curse of this world's economy. And no matter how ugly the floods get of the bad stuff that's happening in the world, you will rise above it. You will rise above it. Somebody say, I'm rising above it. Amen? Listen, the choice to tithe has never been easier in the history of the church. I mean, if you have any faith at all, goodness gracious, if there's a way out of the economy, I'm taking it. Amen? And tithing is that way financially, out of the curse that's on this planet. Amen? And the curse isn't something that God is pouring out on all the people. No. The curse is of sin. Right? The curses of the devil having his way in my life. Listen, I'm getting out of that. That's death and loss and lack and shortage. And I'm believing God to rise high, but rise higher. Higher and higher and higher and higher. In other words, no matter how evil, and if you just think in the past 30 years how evil has increased on this planet, right? How the wrong things are taught as right things. Just yuck. Well, the church isn't supposed to be sinking in all that mire. We rise above it. Not to judge and point fingers and mock and laugh. I doubt Noah's son. Well, maybe. Maybe one of Noah's sons was out there going, ah, ha, ha, look at you. You were making fun of us. Here, hold this millstone. It'll help. That's not what we're here to do as the church, right? In this ark, there's more room. That's why Redeemed Church is called Redeemed Church. This is a rescue operation. There's room in the ship. If you look around, there's room for people in the ark. Amen? Praise God. But our tithing and our giving gets us out of the world system and plugs us into God's system. And that's a good thing, man. Amen? Now, where were we? Verse 17, verse 18. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. Amen? So see, that's where we belong as a believer. We're above it. Somebody say, I'm above it. Above it. Not wallowing in the curse. I'm above the curse, right? And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. That's like 25 feet above the highest mountain. Amen? I mean, even if you're, what's that Olympic swimmer that won all those gold medals? No? Michael Phelps. Yeah, Michael Phelps, if he were there, he probably would have made it. He'd have found a way, amen? But I'm telling you, 25 feet above the highest mountaintop, no matter how good of a swimmer you are, amen? And around here, it doesn't take faith to say it could rain for 40 days and nights, amen? But this was more than a rainstorm. This was more than a rainstorm. This was the atmosphere of heaven cracking open and stuff from underneath the ocean. The whole earth. And if you'll notice, if you read your Bible through, you know, like you should be, reading your Bible every day, and you start noticing, after this point, people's lifespans got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Because something happened to this planet, man. And not there, if you turn a couple more pages, that's when McDonald's came. No, just kidding. That's a joke, right? So the waters prevailed. Don't you know, in the natural, it looks like the curse is prevailing on this planet. But Jesus is the way out. Let me tell you, there's no other way out except Jesus. Amen? And in the realm of giving and in your sowing, that's your way out of this world's economy. Amen? Preachers lie about that to get money. Well, guess what? Keep your money. Amen. Listen, just do what the Word of God says to do. Amen. And you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beasts, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were all destroyed from the earth. Only Noah, somebody say, only Noah. Now see, Noah is, in this sense, a type of Jesus. He's the one, and I told you last week, he's in the top five people I want to shake hands with when I get to heaven. Thank you, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Noah, Mary. Thank you. How many thankful for Mary? I mean, my goodness. Hallelujah for Mary. Thank you, Mary. I'm not going to light candles and bow to you, but thank you. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. But he was a type of Jesus here. God delivered the human race through one man and his family. Praise God. And those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Glory to God. The church, guys, nowadays is like the ark. Right? Those who remain with Jesus, who remain with the Lord, will remain alive. We'll be blessed. We'll prosper. We'll be in health. Not because you're earning brownie points with Jesus, but because you're doing what God tells you to do. Amen? There's life in doing what God tells us to do. Amen? And not just being in any church, being in the church he's placed you in. Amen? It's important. Don't just I would go to that church because Grandpa went to that church and Nana went to that church and, you know, my Republican or Democratic Party supports that church. No, no, you go to the church God calls you to go to. Period. That's where your blessing is. Amen? And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And we'll cut it there. But man, our tithing and our giving is what breaks us out of the curse. Amen? And I've been listening to the Pastor George this week. He's talking about flood stage blessing. Amen? That's the other way to look at this. You know what? There's a flood of the blessing of God coming to you and through you. I look at our church and in our lives, and the Lord gave me a picture before the church ever began of being like a dam that the blessing of God flows up to you and goes through you to wherever he wants it to go. Amen? And that's a powerful thing to think about. But I wanted to show you a couple more pictures here. This is a picture of Mount Ararat. And that right there, this right here is what many believe is the remains of the ark on Mount Ararat. And they would say, many would say, nobody's ever proved it, but it kind of looks like an ark to me, right? And the Bible says it came to rest on Mount Ararat. And I understand, Miss Sarah, it's kind of tough for archaeologists to get in there because it's a war zone, right? Don't you know the devil wants to fight against anything being discovered? But the Bible says the rocks will cry out to God's glory, amen? But if that wasn't enough, look at this. I don't know if you've heard of this, but there's a place in Kentucky, and this is a great reason to prosper right here. Some blessed, believing group got together and they said, you know what? Let's just build an ark right here in Kentucky. And there's this place called the Ark Encounter. You can look it up online. It's been open for a couple of years now. Look at this. You can go there. That's enough reason for me right there to go to Kentucky. And you can tour the ark. They built it to the specifications of the Bible. So if this wasn't enough here, well, somebody just went ahead. See, somebody say that's where prosperity is awesome, right there. Okay, you won't let us go over there and look at the old one. Well, we'll just build one, just like the Bible says, and we'll build it in Kentucky. Isn't God good? And to me, that's a great picture of biblical prosperity. I mean, don't you know that wasn't free? And I told the kids last night, I think it was Luke and I were talking, I said, you know what? I bet they built it faster than Noah did. Right? Amen? But what a glorious thing. And you can look it up. Look up their Ark, go to Ark Encounter on YouTube, and you'll see some really cool little videos and stuff. It's just amazing what God's doing. But I mean, what does it do? Well, it connects people with the Bible right there. Amen. What an awesome thing. Somebody say, prosperity is a good thing. Prosperity is a good thing. And they were talking about how it's even bringing, it brought like 1 million tourists last year. It's stimulating the economy in the area. I mean, the blessing of God is working. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, God, for the ability to give. And there's no offering or seed too small, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing your people as they give today. We give out of obedience and thanksgiving to you, God, for our incomes. But, Lord, we're also stating by our giving that we are not limited to our incomes, in Jesus' name. We don't say things like, I'm on a fixed income. No. God is fixing my income. Amen? And that we release multiple streams of income to our lives, God. And the blessing and the prosperity of God that would just over, just like the story we read, the go flood stage, Lord. A flood stage blessing over all of our lives, over our church, our families, our homes, our ministries, God, our businesses. Hallelujah. Our retirement plans, Lord God, everything. There would just be increase in our homes, God, the values of our properties, Lord God, skyrocketing. Investments skyrocketing, Lord Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory, God, for bigger, better, nicer, newer houses and vehicles and tools and clothing and automobiles and ministries and churches, God, and places to sow and be a blessing, because that's what it's all about, Lord. Blessed to be a blessing. Like Pastor George says, my motivation for accumulation is distribution. Let's say that out loud. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. In Jesus' name. Let's receive the offering today. Amen. Would anybody else like to go see that? Wouldn't that be awesome? It's open today. There was one of the videos that I found. This dude had like a, what do you call those little flying things? A drone, yeah. And he did a drone fly over the top of it. Oh, man. The property is spectacular. So praise God. Amen. I think we can dismiss the kids. Praise God. And kids, I could use some high fives and hugs if you got any. Amen. Love you, buddy. Handsome guy. Girls, you look so nice today. You look so nice today. Thank you so much. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for the beautiful worship, ladies. That was awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, I forgot to mention our faith project tech upgrades. We are so close. We're just upgrading our computer system, a couple new mics and a new laptop, and we are that close to getting there. So if you still want to sow toward that, you can. And we're almost to the finish line, and then we'll have another faith project, amen, to come. But our system back there has been too slow, and now there's something else going off with it. So it's kind of like that car that you're hoping gets to town and back, but you don't want to drive it too far, you know. But this system is the next level for us. And, in fact, the Mac Mini system goes on sale for Labor Day weekend. So we're actually going to go ahead and get it. Amen? So, because we're there with that. So praise God. But just be believing with us for that. And we're still receiving giving toward it as well. But we're within about 400 of it. It's probably actually a little bit less than that now today. But I just told my son this morning, I said, hey, we're going to stop saying we're almost there. And we're just going to say we're there. Amen? The value of this is it just enables us to produce, you know, the messages on CD, put them online so it's available 24 hours a day out there for people. And the computer system is what Shelley uses at home to keep us ahead of the curve with our lesson plans and worship and just everything that goes on around here, prayer emails and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, when stuff starts taking, like, you might as well have a typewriter, you know, it's time to upgrade, right? So we're there. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good. Well, we're going to continue today with our message titled, Nine Fruits and Nine Gifts. Somebody say, Nine Fruits and 9 gifts. And of course, this is in regards to the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is, somebody say, He's everything I want. Amen? And there are certain faiths that don't even believe there is a Holy Spirit. But somebody say, there is a Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of the Lord, right? And He's the one who's living on the inside of you when you get born again, right? Jesus, where's the Bible say Jesus is at right now? Anybody know? Where's Jesus at right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father in bodily form. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the one who He sent to dwell inside of me, fill me up, right? To be with me forever. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, right? So He's the one now. And when he moved in, He brought fruits and gifts. Praise God. Good stuff. Let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit today that is here with us to touch us, to minister to us, Lord God, to cause us to grow and be fruitful, God, for You. And we'll give You all the praise and glory. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what Your Spirit is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Well, Romans 15:13 has been our foundation text for much of this year. Amen. And it says this, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. And that's a key. Well, why are we a faith church? What is a faith church? A faith church is a believing church, an aggressive believing church. Many Christians believe that we just ought to let God do everything, right? Amen? Right? Well, guess what? He already did His part. He did His part at the cross. He did His part in many other ways. But we're talking about believing. We're talking about an aggressive faith, right? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of faith. Amen? So He says, you'll be filled with joy and peace. That comes by my choice to believe Him, to believe the Word of God. And there's a choice there. See, we can't lay our choice aside and just say, my choice doesn't matter, whatever God's will is. Well, this is God's will right here. Amen? And the more I know it, the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I hear it preached with an anointing. How do you know something's anointed when you hear it preached? Did it remove burdens? Did it destroy yokes? That's an anointed message. If it's something just head knowledge, that's good, right? But the church ought to be a place where there's anointed teaching and preaching. Something that's coming from the Spirit, from the heart. We don't cash in our brain at the door, right? That's when you get goofy religions, right? But the anointing is what breaks the yoke, is what breaks people free, sets people free, amen? Takes us to deeper places in God, amen? But we get there by believing, and there's joy and there's peace in this lifestyle of believing. And believing has to do with an act of my will. I can choose to believe or I can choose to not believe. Amen? I can choose to believe that God loves me or I can choose to not believe that God. And I can find evidence either way. You can look with the head. Well, if God loves me so much, why is all that smoke in the air? If God loves me so much, why does my dog have fleas? Right? If God loves me so much, how come I only make this amount of money ever? If God loves me so much, why am I still in that house? If God loves me so much, how come I got these zits? You see, we can find reasons to not believe. Or we can say, God loves me. We need to be like the disciple John, who calls himself the disciple who Jesus loves. Right? Who are you? Who do you think you are? I'm the disciple who Jesus loves. We ought to just say that all day long. I'm the one. God loves me. I'm God's favorite. And guess what? He's big enough for all of us to be His favorite. Yeah. Amen? God loves me. He's blessed me today. That knee's still bothering you right now? A little bit, but this one is perfect. Right? Amen. And this one could be a lot worse, but it is not. I'm standing on it. I can jump. I can run. Hallelujah. Watch. Well, I'll show you. Amen. God loves me. But see, there comes that my will is involved there. I make a decision to believe. And if joy and peace comes in my believing, then what comes in my unbelief? What's the opposite of joy and peace, right? Misery and turmoil. And how about you, but I don't want any of that. There's enough of that going on in the world. I don't want to give the devil any help. Amen. Some people ask, well, you're a believer, what's wrong with drinking? Well, I don't want to give the devil any other vices than he's already had in my life. I'm just going to avoid certain things because I don't want to give the devil any help in my life. Amen? Praise God. Somebody say, I'm a believer. I believe that's why you're in church today, because you're a believer. You believe in Jesus. You're saved, right? You love God. Amen. Praise God. And so joy and peace. Well, these are fruits of the Spirit being on the inside of you. Amen? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking a lot this year about this thing called the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? How'd those people build that ark? Well, they got hammers and saws and drew a picture. I believe they did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Has that ever been done before? Since Noah? Not to my knowledge. Maybe a little one. Right? The power of the Holy Ghost gave somebody that idea, even if they wouldn't claim it. Right? Some groups are operating in, but they brown bag it because they don't want to be controversial. Right? Amen. Just say it. The Holy Ghost gave us this idea. Build an ark in Kentucky. And if you build it, they will come. And they've got animals there, petting zoo. It's amazing, the things, right? Praise God. And jobs, many jobs are there. Glory to God. There's like restaurants and, you'll see. Amen. But we do things by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Christian life is not a boring life. A lot of people are out of church today by the thousands because they think, it's boring. There's too much sinning to do, too much partying to do. No. The life with Jesus is the most exciting life there is. Amen? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I don't think those disciples had a dull day with Jesus, right? They're either seeing a miracle or some lunatic is filled with a devil foaming at the mouth, getting delivered, or a gold coin is coming out of a fish's mouth, or a storm is being caught. There wasn't a dull moment with him. I mean, sun up to sundown, even in the middle of the night sometimes, right? Even the day he died, it was not a dull moment, right? He came out of that tomb 3 days later, and it was restart, refresh. This is a game changer. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what the life of faith is. It's living in that expectancy, making a decision, an act of my will to believe God's word. Amen. And put myself in it. Put my nose in it. Amen. So we're talking about receiving and activating the fruits of the Holy Spirit today. We'll be getting into the gifts soon. Amen. We've got two fruits left today. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now see, the mind would say this. This can't be. One tree, nine fruits? Impossible. We're talking spirit here, right? We're talking out of the Holy Ghost. We're talking out of the heart. Amen? We were cleaning up our neighbor's yard yesterday, sweet little lady, and she's got, plum tree, apple tree, pear tree, grapes, but they're all different trees. And let's get the rakes and get these into the recycle bin because rats will come and wasps and, I'm in pest control, so I'm thinking prevention, right? A lot of fruits, but they didn't all come out of the same tree, right? We're talking about all these fruits coming out of one tree, the Holy Ghost, right? And so he's on the inside of you, so don't ever be saying anything like, I can't love people, I'm not a joyful person, I'm not a peaceful person, I don't have patience with people. If the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, the fruit is there. Somebody say the fruit is there. And it will be there in season when you need it to come. It'll be there. Our job is to yield to it. Amen? To yield to the fruit of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And today we're going to talk about the fruit of gentleness. Say gentleness. Which, again, means excellence in character or demeanor. Amen. Goodness, kindness, all these words. So some of these words have overlapping meanings, right? Gracious, that's a big one. People who are believers, who are full of the Holy Ghost, ought to be graceful people that are full of the grace of God. I can tell you one reason I can be full of the grace of God is because I know what He's forgiven me of. So therefore, I have no right to hold anything against you or anybody on television or anybody out there, you know, raising you-know-what on the streets. I don't have any right to hold anything against those people because I know what I've been forgiven of. Amen? Grace, somebody say, I am graceful. The fruit of grace is the fruit of gentleness. Amen? And synonyms for gentleness are words like peaceful. Amen? Believers are people that know how to operate in the peace of God, peaceful. And that doesn't mean, you know, all ugly stuff can be breaking out all around you, but you are a peaceful person on the inside. It's not getting in there. It's not getting inside you because it might be happening all around you, but that fruit of peace and gentleness is literally like a bubble around you. And unless you allow that stuff to get in you, but how do we do that? By saying something with our mouth, right? Choosing to believe something, choosing to not yield to that gentleness, that spirit of peace on the inside of me. But it doesn't have to get on the inside of me. Because greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. See, these aren't just words. These are truths. Amen. Praise God. So peaceful. It means merciful. There we go. Coming back to grace again, right? Christians, people who have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, are merciful people. Merciful people. People of mercy. Why? Because we've experienced the mercy for ourselves. And if you truly experience the mercy of God for yourself, it changes you. It just absolutely, it's not something you have to conjure up. Amen? Remember the story with Jesus when the woman comes and is washing his feet with her tears and she pours the expensive perfume on him and one of the, I think it was Judas, go figure, Judas, right, who criticizes it. We could have used that money to give to the poor. Oh no, Judas, you wanted that money for yourself. And Jesus says, don't criticize this woman. He who is forgiven much loves much. He who's forgiven little, the same loves little. But see, we have to get out of our minds as believers, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I didn't do anything all that bad. Oh, really? Whatever I did still put him on the cross, you see. If it would have just been me, he still would have had to have gone to the cross. So for me to say what I did wasn't that bad is to take what Jesus did and bring it down a notch. Yikes, somebody say, not me. Not me. That same mercy that is delivering the man on death row out of hell, right? The worst vile sinner you can think of is the same mercy that saved me. The same mercy. Amen? So therefore, I can be merciful. I can be gentle with people. Amen? On the highways even. When I'm out there in traffic and it's been a long day, and I can tell somebody's texting and they're drifting over into my hey, take a picture of you. Now I broke the law too, right? Merciful. Somebody say merciful. Merciful. I can't control what they're doing out there, but I can control how I respond to it. Amen. Jesus did that all day long. Don't you think there were times when he was tired of another Pharisee coming to him with accusations? Amen, right? Another complaint from the disciple at 3 a.m. Right? No, that fruit was always in season with Jesus, right? It also means this, a synonym of gentleness, an absence of bad temper. Amen. And I really enjoy John Wayne movies. And I remember there was this one where there was a bar fight and he punches his buddy in the face. What'd you hit me for? Because I know you. And they said his name in some other language. And the guy says, what's that mean? He says, means he has a bad temper. Amen. Christians, believers, people that are full of the Holy Ghost, we've given up our right to have an attitude. And that doesn't mean just physical fighting. It means just having bad attitudes. I've given up my right to have a bad attitude with you or anyone else. The person at the store, restaurant. I remember hearing Brother Copeland say when he goes into a restaurant, he just says, you know what, Lord? I forgive everybody in this restaurant right now before I even go inside. Amen? We just have to decide beforehand, I am going to walk in gentleness with people. Be a gentleman, a gentlewoman. Amen? It also means deliberate kindness in dealing with others. Deliberate kindness. I remember hearing Creflo Dollar preaching once that there was somebody who was lambasting him publicly with his ministry. I don't know if it was the prosperity message or he has a jet or whatever, but they were publicly lambasting him about his how he preaches and his ministry. And the Lord told him, you know, this brother that was doing it, he said, he has a project that needs this much money, pay for it. And he didn't do it publicly. He wrote him a check for whatever, 30 grand, 50 grand. Here, this is for your ministry. God bless you, brother. The guy didn't say anything ever again about Brother Dollar, right? Amen. Instead of going to the waves, okay, you preaching against me, I'm be preaching against you. Well, brother against brother, what's that about, right? We're the family of God. We're in this together, right? He chose to walk in mercy. And not only that, but deliberate kindness to somebody who is giving him a bad time publicly. Amen. I believe Jesus was this way with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, comes to Jesus in the middle of the night where he won't be seen. Hey, we know there's something different about you, but what is it? Nobody could do what you do except God. You must be born again, Nicodemus. How can a man, he goes through his head, right? How can a man go into the womb again? Then Jesus goes, what? You, the teacher of the law, don't understand these things, right? Jesus operated with a spirit of gentleness with this man who was partner in cohorts with all these leaders that were eventually going to have him executed, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. They weren't all bad, but most of them didn't stand up for him until it was over, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus operated in deliberate kindness. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you to go out of your way to bless somebody who has not been a blessing to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. I had an experience in high school with a friend of mine who was a football player, friend, so to speak, of mine. And he didn't like me. He was mean and just, you know, antagonistic. And I was the photo editor of the high school paper, and I got a picture of him in one of the games that wasn't going to be in the paper. And the Lord said, print that picture out and take it to him and give it to him. And so I did. And I even spent some time that day fasting for him. I fasted lunch. Lord, bless my friend. And, you know, he hung that thing in his locker, and it was there like for the rest. He just hung it. He never said thanks, never really changed. But the Lord, just be deliberately kind to him, right? And that wasn't something I was going to conjure up in myself. I mean, I wanted to go John Wayne on him a couple times, right? But no. Deliberately kind to people. Not fake. The world doesn't need fake, right? Deliberate kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's gentleness, this fruit of gentleness, right? Now, in Proverbs 15, if you want to turn over there, in fact, I have this one on my iPhone. I wanted to share some different There it is. Proverbs 15:1 says this, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Amen? So it has to do a lot with what's coming out of my mouth, right? This gentleness thing, right? A soft answer in the ASV turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. In the Amplified, it says this, "A soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger." So see, we're seeing more about gentleness here. In the Amplified Classic says this, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Grievous, that person hurt me. So therefore, that grief is going to come out through my words toward them or about them. I'll post something or Instagram something or say something behind their back or to their face. I don't care. That ain't the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? In the CSB, a gentle answer turns away anger. Amen? A gentle response deflects fury. That's the complete Jewish translation. A kind answer soothes angry feelings. You know what I think of when I read this? I think of Jesus. Jesus is literally, in the flesh, God's soft answer to my sin. And Jesus literally is the one, by his act on the cross, dying, raising again, he is the answer to the wrath side of God. Because don't you know, the wages of sin is death. The wrath of God is for sin. But God didn't just pour out his wrath on this planet. If you look through the history of the Word of God, there's only a couple times he did. And there was no collateral damage. But Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus. Jesus took all of that on himself, right? And when you think of this word, like a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath. The price that Jesus paid pacified God's wrath toward me, toward you, toward the world. God is not mad at the world. He poured it out on Jesus. Jesus was the soft, gentle answer to the sin problem. And he took it all on himself. All the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus on that day. Right? The next wrath that does come will be for those who've rejected Jesus as Lord of their life. But even then, it's sin being judged. People reject Jesus, they're rejecting God, they're rejecting heaven, right? But God isn't mad at people. Amen, right? See, I hear preachers a lot of times sound like they're preaching angry. Remember that movie Groundhog Day, if you've ever seen it, with Bill Murray? And he's got the groundhog at the wheel, and he's like, now don't drive angry. Don't drive angry, right? Amen. Listen, God is not mad at people. No matter how perverse it looks, no matter how ungodly it looks, he is not sitting there with thunderbolts like, hold me back, Gabriel, hold me back. No, 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 no. No, look at this. A gentle answer turns away anger. Jesus turned the wrath of God away from you and from people. Sin has been judged. So if people don't receive him, that now see where people would err in that is they would say, see there, Jesus paid it all. Doesn't matter how you live, we're all going to heaven. Lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because if somebody does not choose Jesus Christ as Lord of their life, they are cursed with sin. Amen? But Jesus pacified the wrath of God. And don't you know, when we read this, we ought to see that fruit of gentleness all over that verse and see Jesus in it and see that, you know what? Because Jesus did that, if Jesus pacified and turned the wrath of God, then I have that same quality in me of the Holy Ghost that when somebody treats me like garbage, just absorb it. Don't take it personal. Just keep rolling. Smile. Hey, praise God. God bless you, brother, sister, if they are. Sometimes that's when it hurts most. When it's somebody who is a brother or a sister. Somebody in the world. Somebody treats you bad at work. We can do that by the power of the Holy Ghost. forgive and move on. Amen? A soft and gentle answer turns away wrath. Aren't you glad the wrath of God has been turned away? Amen? See, that's religion that tells people God is mad at you. I remember I was having a bad day one day, and I'm walking through a Walmart, and I see Joyce Meyer's face on a book, and it says, God is not mad at you. That was the title. I was like, thank you, Joyce. I needed that today. I needed that. Amen? Truly, I did. And it's the truth. Jesus bore all of that. All of that. Somebody say all of it. He bore all of it. All the curse, all the judgment, all the wrath, took it on his own body for everybody, even Uncle Bill. Now, Uncle Bill needs maybe to wake up, but I got to get my eyes off Uncle Bill and get him onto Jesus. Amen? And just keep myself in line with him. Don't be worried about so-and-so in the Democratic Party or so-and-so in the Republican Party or who's doing this or who's doing that. Just keep me, Jesus, lined up with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's move on here. Psalm 18:35 says this, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. Your gentleness has made me great. Don't you know, people who live this way will rise, just like the offering message today. You'll rise up above the curse. Amen? You'll rise in favor with God and men. Amen? Nothing you can say touches that person. That's a unique person. Amen? That's called the power of the Holy Ghost in that person. Amen? Praise God. Your gentleness has made me great. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you know you have a great destiny in God? A great future in God? Heaven is going to be great. His plans for you and for me is great. Praise God. Great plans for your family. Great plans for your home. Great plans for your career, for your kids, grandkids. Somebody say it's great. How you doing? Just say great. Even if it doesn't look great, say great. My eyes are on Jesus. It's great. Praise God. His gentleness has, don't you know, Jesus chose the road of gentleness and it made my life great. Amen. This is good news, right? Hosea 11:4 says this, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. This is the heart of God, right? Not I judged them with lightning bolts and hailstones, right? No, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. Hallelujah. See, this is why it benefits all of us to spend time with Jesus every day. Spend time. Why do people go to tanning booths around here? Because it's the weather's not all that great and they want to look good, right? So what do? They go and lay in a tanning bed and they just allow themselves to be exposed to that light. Amen? And it changes how they look, right? For me, I'd probably get red. I don't know that I don't tan all that great, right? Amen? But when you and me spend time with Jesus, it just changes us. It melts us. It melts away the trash and the junk. Amen? Why? Because he's the God of love and favor and blessing and mercy and kindness and all these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we need to be people. That's what they even said after, you know, I think in the book of Acts, where it says when they saw the boldness of the disciples, they knew these guys have been with Jesus. And it ought to be easy for our family, for our acquaintances, to the world to say, you know what? You know why they're different? Because they hang out with Jesus. That's the only reason. Amen. And somebody say, I can do that, right? And see, we're talking again about deliberate, being deliberate. I need to deliberately set aside time to be with him and then check in with him all through the day. While I'm doing my work and my route, my list, my to-do list at home, whatever, just be checking in with him throughout the day. But be deliberately making time for him. Amen. Matthew 11, we're getting there. Matthew 11, 39. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, I would need to study that word lowly out, but it doesn't mean he has a poor self-esteem. Right? He knows he's God the Son. Amen? Praise God? Maybe you could say, "I think low of the curse. I think low of anything that would try to kill, steal, and destroy." Right? "I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus, we're talking about Jesus here. Amen? That fruit of gentleness is Jesus himself, right? In 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul says this, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Now, Paul is a guy we know was changed by Jesus. He went from Saul to Paul. Saul was breathing threats against the church, having people killed, having people thrown in jail. He had probably an anger issue, we could say, and a pride issue, and an arrogance issue, and he was all up and about his heady knowledge. But he spent time with Jesus. He got touched by Jesus, and now look at him, right? I'm not giving you orders. I'm pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am lowly among you. There you go again, right? And being absent, I'm bold toward you. I think that I would think of that lowly word as I'm here to serve you. Didn't Jesus say that? I didn't come to be served. I came to serve you and to help you, right? That's a godly leader. Amen. I am lowly among you, but absent from you, I'm bold toward you. Amen. Praise God. Maybe that means you're going to remember the things that I said and you won't go to the right or to the left, because your life is there. Amen? But this meekness and gentleness of Christ. Hallelujah. What does it do? You know, we think of that verse in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the shepherd has the staff. And that gentleness, these fruits of the Holy Ghost, they're not there to pop you on the head. They pop the devil on the head, right? But they pull you out of danger, right? They guide you away from the loco weed, like Pastor Huck used to call it. The sheep are in the loco weed again. Get them out of there. Get them out of there, right? Get your eyes back on the shepherd, right? That's what these fruits do. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost isn't there to draw my eyes to him. He's there to put my eyes on Jesus and remind me of the things that Jesus said to me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:5 says this, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Praise God. Didn't the Word of God say, "Lift Jesus higher and I will draw all men unto me"? Amen. And it's the gentleness of God, the goodness of God, the love of God that's going to draw people to God. Amen. And in closing, I wanted to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a few verses that I saw yesterday morning, I think. I was like, oh, that's perfect for this, right? And it says this. 2 Timothy 2:22 through 26. "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." See, we have to get past that place as believers that God is fire insurance, right? Help! Now that's a good prayer to pray, right? If you need help, help, Lord, help, help. But he's talking about, hey, things are going good, and you still want to come to him, right? Amen? Out of a pure heart. Praise God. "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." Boy, I'll tell you, if that isn't where we live right now, right? "Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." Somebody say, avoid strife, right? That doesn't mean you compromise on your values according to the Word of God, but it's no point in arguing with some people about it, right? Or dwelling on how off they are. Amen? Just stay with Jesus. And don't we have to avoid getting into disputes, right? Especially within the church. Especially within the church, right? And a servant of the Lord, verse 24, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Somebody say, gentle to all. Gentle to everybody. Amen. Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. See, that again comes back to that word lowly, right? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Some of the biggest lessons that the Lord has ever taught me weren't necessarily a direct word of correction. It was silence. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like, Lord, you sure ain't talking to me much lately. And you start thinking, what's the last thing he told me to do? Maybe, because obviously I'm off in the briars here somewhere. And believe me, it isn't him that's off, right? That strong silence. We ought to be so close to the shepherd that when we're off, not if, but when we're off, we know immediately. Immediately. Like I've heard Keith Moore say, you ought to be so close to Jesus, the shepherd, that if he stops, you run into his back. Amen. That's where I want to live. Because that's the place of safety, the blessing. And plus, there might be somebody else following me. That if I veer off to the loco weed, I'm not just messing with me. Now he's like, hey, Steve, where's all those people? You're all off in the loco weed, right? Amen. So we follow Jesus. Amen. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, who is the truth? Somebody say Jesus, right? And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. See, I've got to really work with my own heart and saying, Lord, help so-and-so just come to their senses. And I've got to realize, Lord, help me come to my senses. Help me, Lord. Just help me stay right with you today. And don't be so concerned about so-and-so or this or that. Or, you know what? That just gets you off in the loco weed. Gets me off in the loco weed. I'll tell you that for sure, right? No. Lord, I'm coming after you myself. I'm coming after you myself. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So what this tells me is if I focus my eyes on Jesus, somebody else may come to him, not because of my clamoring voice, right? But because they see what's happening in my life. They see what the gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit operating in me. Amen. And they'll see the effects and the results of what's going on in my life. And there'll be times where we share, testify and share. But it's not this, don't want to be like Ham. Wasn't Ham the one that went nutty on Noah? Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Wasn't Ham the one that was the... He was the son, probably, out there on the... Yeah, look at that. You made fun of my father. Now look at you and your children sinking. No, we won't help you. Right? We don't want to be believers like that. Right? No. No, we keep our eyes on Jesus, on the Word. Keep our faith stirred up in him. And somebody say, back to Psalm 18, right? Your gentleness has made me great. Somebody say, it's great today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your words to us today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you that Jesus came and died and paid the price of all of our sins, God. We thank you that he rose again from the grave and made a public show of the devil. Not a public show of people's failures. He didn't come out and make a public show of Pilate and a public show of Herod and a public show of Judas. He came out and he made a public show of the devil and defeated him forevermore. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we want to be people of the same heart, Lord God. People that put the devil in his place and keep our eyes on Jesus and walk in that spirit of gentleness that you spoke of, Lord. that spirit of peace and mercy and having a calm temper at all times and deliberate acts of kindness operating in and through us. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody say, I have the fruit of gentleness rising up on the inside of me.